The Other Side of Midnight presents The Midnight Files.
Stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it till tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening.
Yes, we are a program that spends a lot of time exploring the unknown, and I don't think there is a subject that has fascinated the American public more over the course of the last 70 years or so than UFOs. Now, recently, we've stopped referring to them as UFOs. A lot of people, especially in the government, refer to them as UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. So, someone who has covered this subject, whether you want to call it UFOs or unidentified aerial phenomenon, more extensively than almost anybody is Douglas Johnson. He's a private researcher and a writer on unidentified aerial phenomenon who closely follows developments in Congress on this subject. Kind enough to join us early this morning on the radio. Douglas, thanks for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Frank.
So, Douglas, before we get into what Congress is doing, where do you do most of your writing on this subject? Are you associated with a particular publication? Do you write in books? Where do you do most of your UFO writing?
Most of my writing is actually on a blog, but also on my Twitter account, where my handle is D. Dean Johnson. That's two D's in a row. D-D-E-A-N Johnson, all one word. And I particularly track congressional events there, but also some other facets of the issue. There are many facets of this issue, as you know, and I'm by no means an expert on all of them, but I do keep close track of what's happening in Congress on this matter, and it's quite a bit lately.
Yeah, no, clearly. I'm looking forward to hearing about it. Just so folks know where you're coming from, would you characterize your own characterize yourself as a skeptic or more of on the believer side that UAPs are extraterrestrial in nature?
Well, Frank, I became convinced when I was in high school that there were some things in our atmosphere that we didn't make. That was in the 1960s. So I've been following this intermittently for a long time. I still have that conviction, and I think there is a lot of evidence to support it. As far as the origins of these objects, that is a much more complicated question, and I think that they may have multiple origins. So it's a complicated question. There is a great deal of misinformation, nonsense, bogus claims surrounding this issue. And in part, that's because of the stigma that was attached to it back in the 1950s, quite deliberately, by the government for what they thought were good reasons at the time. But it's caused the field to be rift with bogus claims, and it's hard to separate the signal from the noise. That's one of the reasons why this congressional initiative that Senator Gillibrand has introduced is so important, to bring some serious government resources to bear on sorting out the signal from the noise.
All right, so let's talk about this. You were the first person to report on this. I'm shocked that I didn't see this in other publications until you started tweeting about it. What exactly is Senator Gillibrand, and I believe she's joined by Senator Rubio on this, what exactly is Senator Gillibrand proposing?
It is a robust measure and to require the Department of Defense and the intelligence community to create a structure and to mobilize resources to come to grips with this issue in a serious, sustained, and coordinated fashion. And that has not been the case in the past. Now, there has certainly been interest by some government agencies in some UFO phenomena over the decades since the late 40s, or since World War II, really. But it has been disconnected, episodic, much of it, no institutional continuity, I believe. Stovepiping is the term one hears, where the data that one agency has is not shared with other agencies and not retained properly. So what they're trying to do here in this amendment, among other things, is get a single entity at a pretty high level in the Pentagon that would have the right and the authority and the resources to get data from all arms of the military and intelligence community on this subject matter, and to have the resources to go promptly into the field with technical resources and expert personnel where there is a flap or a series of encounters with this phenomena.
And just so folks know, how are UAPs reported now? What is the protocol, whether a civilian or a member of a military sees one of these aerial phenomenon? What's the current procedure, and how precisely would that change if this amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act gets passed?
Well, this amendment speaks to the government component, so it would establish a procedures by which military personnel would have the right to report directly to this UAP entity, and the name of it is still a matter under discussion. But there would be an entity that would be in command of this, and pilots, for example, from all of the uniformed services could report their encounters directly to that entity. Because there has been a stigma attached to this for decades, where military pilots and sailors and others who had quite remarkable encounters in some cases, including quite a few involving nuclear weapons, could not report this up the chain of command. There was a stigma attached, and it could damage one's career. And one of the things that Senator Gillibrand and her colleagues are trying to do is get rid of that stigma and say this is now official policy. Not only are you encouraged to, but, you know, it is the will of Congress that this information be promptly processed and responded to. And when they get data, there's also a section of the bill called the Science Plan, where resources, serious government resources, will be available to analyze it and to try to figure out some of what they're seeing. I was at an event 2 weeks ago where the director of National Intelligence, when asked about this issue, said, "We don't understand some of the things we're seeing." And she's talking about things that they are seeing through multiple sensors, sophisticated sensors. She's not just talking about eyewitness reports from trained pilots, although those should not be lightly dismissed. But they have cases, quite recent cases, in which they have multiple sensor data and objects performing in ways that they do not understand.
And if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Douglas Johnson. He's a private researcher and a writer on unidentified aerial phenomenon, talking about this proposal by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, which would amend the National Defense Authorization Act to change how the government handles UFO and or UAP, whatever terminology you want to use, how it handles sightings. By the way, Douglas, why was there a change in terminology? Why did they go from referring to them as UFOs to UAPs?
I don't know. I think some people felt there was such a stigma attached to the term UFO, it had become associated with so many things in popular culture. I think most of the popular culture stuff developed in response to actual events, actual sightings that people were having after World War II. And once it got into the culture, you know, a lot of things became attached to it. But so they thought they could sort of divest themselves of some of that by adopting a new term. I don't care what you call it, but there are things operating in the atmosphere that perform in ways that we don't understand. And some of this may be attributed to foreign technology. Super drones or whatever in recent years, but there have been credible reports of this kind, and I'm talking about thousands of credible reports, going back at least to the Second World War. And there weren't any super Chinese drones, you know, in 1952, when these things were buzzing Washington, D.C., and so forth. So let me say a little more about this legislation.
Please.
Senator Gillibrand quoted, she tweeted on this yesterday. This is what she said. Burying our heads in the sand is neither a strategy nor an acceptable approach. That's why I've introduced a bipartisan proposal to provide oversight and accountability over reports of unidentified aerial phenomena. End of quote. But listen to what Senator so she's a pretty liberal Democrat, right?
Sure.
Listen to what Senator Marco Rubio, the prime co-sponsor of this measure, said in the summer of 2020 when he was still the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And I quote Senator Rubio, "There are things flying over your military bases, and you don't know what they are. And they exhibit potentially technologies that you don't have at your disposal. That, to me, is a national security risk and one that we should be looking into." End of quote. Now, I think they're saying the same thing.
Right.
This is one of the few issues right now in Congress where so far there is no hint of a partisan divide. And none at all among the members of the Senate and House Intelligence Committees and the Senate and House Armed Services Committees who have received repeated classified briefings from what is now called the UAP Task Force. It started out as an Office of Naval Intelligence operation in about 2017, and it's now been given this special status. And if this bill passes, it will be greatly elevated and have much more resources.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see at least something in Washington these days can be bipartisan. Douglas, do you think that this legislation would really make a difference? There's a lot of people in our audience, for instance, that believe that there's a lot of information that the intelligence community, the military, and many others in high-ranking positions in government, there's a lot of information they already have about UAPs and UFOs, and for whatever reason, they've refused to disclose that to the public. If somebody has that cynical view that the government has information on this subject and is withholding it, then what would this legislation actually do in practice?
Well, it very clearly, unequivocally expresses the will of Congress, if it's enacted, that all that information be, you know, the vaults be opened and all of it be provided to this central entity. Moreover, there is ongoing since May what's called an evaluation by the Office of the Inspector General of the Department of Defense. And that entity has authority to get into anything. And they are supposedly looking into the whole government operation with respect to this phenomena. I personally do not adhere to some of the conspiracy theories. For example, the Bob Lazar hoax, which a lot of people buy into, the guy who claimed to have worked on.
Oh, so you don't buy the Bob Lazar story?
I have delved into that in exhaustive detail, and it is a hoax from top to bottom.
Well, I'm going to have you come back on that show and maybe debate our friend Jerry Corbell.
I'd love to do. Oh, he'll never debate me.
Really? Okay. Frankly. Well, good.
He will never debate. He will never debate anybody who's well informed on this issue. They are hit and run artists. But listen, there's a lot of stuff like that. But I do not. I don't say there's no possibility that somewhere there's some artifact or some films and so forth that we should see and that the members of Congress should see. I don't. My own view is the government doesn't know what it knows because of what I said earlier. It's been balkanized. It's been stovepiped. There has not been continuity from generation to generation. It was nobody's official job to keep track of this stuff. In fact, it was regarded as career destructive to even show an interest in it. So I don't think the government has all the answers.
Interesting. What is, as we stand here now, what is the status of this bill and of the Gillibrand amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act?
Well, to simplify, the bill itself, not the amendment, which so far is uncontroversial, but the underlying bill is jammed up in the Senate. It's they got a very late start for reasons I won't go into. They will get this bill enacted, I believe. It's been enacted for 60 straight years. it's one of the few bills that is really regarded as must pass. So I think before the end of the year it will be enacted, but they may have to take some legislative shortcuts and so forth. But right now there's a fair chance that this Gillibrand-Rubio amendment will be enacted. You know, there may be some changes in it in the conference committee and so forth, as you would normally expect. But it is a robust measure, and certainly far bolder in Congress asserting itself on this measure than I would have predicted. It's ramping up quickly. And I think that there's going to be a lot more public attention to this issue in the years just ahead, and I welcome this.
So in terms of the timeline, we should know one way or another passage of this this bill and or the amendment proposed by Gillibrand by the end of the year?
That's right.
Okay.
It's not guaranteed, but they pulled it out for 60 years in a row, and I think we'll see it. And the amendment has a fair chance of staying in. Now, you know, something could always go wrong. Somebody may come out of left field and object, and under these severe time constraints, it could be derailed. But the fact that it's even being proposed with this kind of bipartisan support, and I should have mentioned, the House has already passed a weaker version without dissent. 435 members of the House passed what we call the Gallego provision, which is without a single objection in September. Now, Gillibrand-Rubio is three times as good, but the House provision itself was historic. It was the first time either House of Congress had ever adopted any bill addressing UFOs, UAP, whatever you want to call it, ever. So this thing is ramping up fast. You're going to see some people very disturbed by this, not in Congress, not the people who've seen the classified data, but, you know, like Doonesbury today makes fun of this. It says all the UFO reports are in the USA. This is silly. They relied upon a U.S.-based group that, of course, only collects reports from the U.S. and Canada. So they drew the conclusion, therefore, these things don't happen anywhere else in the world. In fact, there are very similar reports from all over the world and there have been for decades.
We're going to have to end it there, Douglas Johnson. I hope you'll come back. If people want to follow you on Twitter and your research and reporting on this subject, what is the best way for folks to follow you again? Give it to us one more time.
It's all one word. It's D. Dean Johnson. That's two D's in a row. D-D-E-A-N Johnson.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Dean, thank you. Douglas, thank you very much. D. Dean Johnson on Twitter. I appreciate the work that you've done on this. I appreciate you being willing to join me so early on the radio.
It's been a pleasure, and I'd love to come back and talk about Bob Lazar.
Okay. Count on it. Count on it. Douglas Johnson.